Our scripture reading is taken from Psalm 19, a very well-known psalm. Which is page 628 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 19. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them they set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. His rising is from one end of heaven, and his circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Our Lord's Day this afternoon is Lord's Day 47, page 60 in the back of the hymnal, the Psalter hymnal, Lord's Day 47. Question and answer 122. We read the question, what does the first request mean? And the answer is, hallowed be thy name, means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works, and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, your wisdom, and your kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we see the opening words of Lord's Day 47, what does it mean, or what does first request mean? Hallowed be thy name. Opening words is, help us to really know you. Help us to really know you. We think of our lives in this world, and we think of somebody that we meet. We say, I'd like to really get to know that person. And how can you get to know that person? One way would be to talk to that person, to ask them questions. Who are you? Where do you live? What do you do? What do you like? What's important to you? So we ask all kinds of questions, and as we hear the answers, we get to, in some way or another, know that person. Or we can ask other people that know that person. Those we know are their friends. And we can ask them some of the same questions. What do you know about that person? Especially if you're looking for a job and your boss wants to know who you are, he starts asking for some kind of recommendation from somebody where you've worked before or someone that you know. And so that's the person. What do you know about this person? What kind of person is he like? Can I trust him? Is he a good worker? Will he do the job? Is he what I'm looking for? And so we see this verbal intercommunication. We can read about him. And we can therefore get to know this person. There's some type of communication that takes place. Something that's expressed to us. And thereby, little by little, we can come to know that person more and more. And as we live with that person, as we're in relationship with that person, we'll get to know him even more. When we express those words, hallowed be thy name, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Catechism addresses us to that point of getting to know our God. How can we know our God? Now, if we know our confessions, we can go to Belgic Confession number 1, which gives us a brief summary of who God is with these words. We read, who is God? And it says, we all believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that there is one simple and spiritual being which we call God, and that he is eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, infinite, almighty, perfectly wise, just and good, and overflowing fountain of all good. Well, we could say those are certain characteristics. Those are the attributes of God, attributes that God has, only God has, and some attributes that in some way we reflect. But again, these are just external things that we read in our confessions. It says this is who God is. But how do we know that is the way God is? What's the basis for our knowledge? Again, we think of that communication. Something's communicated to us. Now, if we come to Psalm 19, it also talks about how we come to know God. And that's somewhat reflected in Article 2 of the Belgian Confession, where it speaks about two ways that God can be made known to us. One way is through revelation, general revelation, which we find in creation. Creational revelation, and the second would be special revelation, God communicating directly to us. In Psalm 19, it speaks about those two different ways of communicating, that God communicates to us. First of all, in the opening verses of Psalm 19, where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. So it says, when we look to the heavens, in some ways, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows forth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Their words to the end of the world. Now, throughout my years, I've had much contact with what we call the liberal faith, liberalism. Liberalism. Liberalism hears these words. Liberalism within the Reformed Church reads Belgic Confession 2, where it speaks about those two different types of revelation, general revelation and special revelation. And liberals do the following. They pull them up to the same level. They say, both those revelations speak to us with words that we can understand if we only have ears to hear and eyes to hear. Both of those, that's God speaking to us. The creation can speak to us if we will only listen. And liberals will say, and I've heard this said, I've been there, go out, take a nature walk. Enjoy the creation around you. But as you enjoy creation and as you walk, listen. And you'll hear God speaking to you. And as you listen, write down that's God's voice to you. That's God's revelation. He's making himself known to you so you can hear him. Now, if that's placed equally or even as a way of correcting Scripture in that The liberals believe that as you can hear God's voice in creation, you can hear God's voice in special revelation that's in the Bible, but it's not all of the Bible. You have to have that magical moment, that experiential moment where you hear the voice of God coming through the words of Scripture, but not necessarily the words of Scripture themselves. It's more of a direct, mystical, experiential knowledge, much as you would have when you would go on a nature walk. That's the liberal faith. We believe that the Bible, as I said this morning, is inspired, infallible Word of God. When we speak about the attributes of God in Belgian Confession 1, the creation we see all around us, that's so glorious, that Psalm 19 speaks about. The heavens declare the word of the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. And when it says in verse 4, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. And yet there is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth. It's not talking about an audible word. It's a general revelation that we can say that even though we see creation all around us that's acknowledging the greatness of our God, when we see the intricacy, the marvelousness of all of creation, it declares to us that there is a creator, but it doesn't say who he is, nor does it describe his attributes. Indeed, we could say he's a most marvelous God. He's a glorious God. He's made a wonderful creation. He obviously has an infinite knowledge of how to do things. But who is this God? What's his name? How did he make all things? How does he reveal himself to us? And that takes us to the second part of Psalm 19, where it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. There's an audible speech, God speaking to us through the words of Scripture. It's God speaking to us so we can indeed come to know our God. And as we listen to the words of Scripture, as we come to know God by reading his word, we believe that the only way we can understand and receive the Bible is God's holy word, that this is indeed true, is through the in-working of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit convinces us that what we are hearing is the word of God. God speaking to us, God addressing to us. The Catechism goes one step further when it says, when we say, hallowed be thy name, that God's name may be glorified through our lips, that he may be praised, that we may bless our God, because he is our God, he is our Lord, he is the one who has created us, and he is the one who has saved us through Jesus Christ from our sins. The Catechism says, help us to really know you. Help us to really know you. We, as believers in Christ, believe that the reason we can pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that we desire to know God, is because we have been known by God. And even more so, we have been known even before the foundation of the world, that God had known us and predestined us for salvation because that was his will to love us. That God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to this world to take upon himself our sins, to cleanse us from our sins, that when we believe on him, we indeed will have eternal life. That was God's will. That was God's love poured out to us, God knowing us. So it says, hallowed be thy name means help us to really know, to really love you, to have this intimate love for our God. So it's not just reading about the attributes of God, who God is, but it's much, much more. Our God is a good God and desires that we may love him because he has loved us first. He's our God. He's our Lord and he is our King. And therefore, says, help us to really know you so that we may bless and worship and praise you for all your works. If we become confused and we think that creation is speaking to us audibly, mystically, that we can experience and hear God out there, we become confused. Because the only way that we can understand what's going on around us is to reason that we are understanding and hearing something out there. And this hearing and understanding something out there is only our subconscious speaking to us. It's not God speaking to us, but it's something that we are imagining, that we are experiencing, that we're seeking to impose upon the Word of God, and seeking thereby, through our reason, to correct Scripture. And thus we have all the funny things that go on within the church in the name of religion. Man has reasoned out the commands of God so he can live thinking he knows God, but seeking to know God in a way that he's reimagined him and recreated him and made him, therefore, an idol of his own self-serving imagination. So God is calling us back. Help us to really know you. To really know you means to really listen to your word, to have faith in your word, so we may bless, we may worship and praise you as our God has called us to praise and worship him, speaking in psalms and songs and spiritual songs, exactly as he has commanded us, that our life may be a reflection, a revealing, a making clear that we indeed have heard faithfully our God speaking to us as our God, as our Lord, as our King, and we as his servants that have been saved through Christ, that we are a reflection thereby, that our love is a reflection of his love, first of all, to us, that we are revealing his will. So help us to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them. And then it speaks about some of the attributes of God where it says, your almighty power, your wisdom, your kindness, your justice, your mercy, and your truth. You have to realize that the Lord's Prayer comes after the Ten Commandments. The Catechism goes through explaining what God requires of us, and does that explaining each of the commandments. This is what God requires of us. Now that we have come to know God, you think of the second part of the Catechism, redemption, that God has redeemed us. That he has bought us with a price. Now that we know who God is, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, how do we live for our God? How is our life to be a life of gratitude that God has done so much for us, that he has indeed called us to be his people, and now what does God require of us so we can indeed live a life of service to him? Living all of our life in accordance with his will. Recognize that he is the God of all things. So help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them. Your almighty power, that God is the almighty, all-powerful God who's over all things. God's power and God's wisdom. Again, we think of the creation. The creation that reveals God's wisdom, but not only the creation. When we think of a life lived in accordance to God's word. Life, not only our lives, but life in society, life within culture, or life forming culture, a culture that has been formed by God's laws. A life that's lived in accordance with what God has said. It's a wondrous thing when we live in accordance with God's wisdom that we become wise because, as we saw this morning, we pray for God's wisdom. How do we live in this world? What must we do? And God grants us his wisdom so we can live according to the wise ordinances of God. And our creation reveals to us It says that there's a wise God. And when we violate those creational norms and those ethical norms, our society destroys itself. God has made a pattern. God has made a way for living. God has a creational pattern. And we must recognize that pattern both in our lives, in the lives of those around us, and within creation. We must live according to the norms of God, what God has said with his voice. So help us, therefore, to recognize that God is the almighty, all-powerful God who is the one in charge, covering all things, the sovereign God, the holy God. We live within his direction, and that we live within his wisdom, that he is all wisdom. At the same time that we recognize, but he's a kind God. He comes to us. He comes to us in his mercy. He comes to us in his love. He reveals to us. He takes us unto himself. He's created us in his image. He is a good God, and he has made us good, and he has made us to be good, and he is the fountain of all that is good, that we can live good lives in his presence. That he's a just God. Man may laugh at God. Man may laugh at the commandments of God. Man may seek to live contrary to what God has commanded, but man will suffer. Again, when we think of God's word, God's laws, God's decrees, they're good. It's God's wisdom. And we must seek to wrap our lives around those laws and have those laws written upon our hearts. And when we don't live according to those laws, there are consequences. And man will suffer those consequences. The way of this world is the way of death. God is a just God and a merciful God. A patient, forbearing, long-suffering, merciful God who calls out, first of all, in creation. Creation reveals God's glory. In some ways, he's saying, there is a God who has made all things, that he can be known, but we, through our blindness, man, through his blindness, for refusing to recognize the God of the Bible as the creator God, man, refusing to recognize, makes his own God in his own image. And yet God calls out. He calls out through his word. He calls out from those who proclaim his word. There is the holy God. You must believe in him. You must follow him. You must recognize he is the only way to be saved. He is the one you must live for. And if you don't live for him, you will lose out. You will lose out in salvation. You will die in your sins. And finally, he says, he's a just, merciful, and truthful God, the God of all truth. Now, be careful. Again, liberals say, yeah, God's the God of all truth. And everything's true. Science is true. Scientism is true. We get all these things that they declare are true. Evolution is true. Evolution is the fact. Who could deny evolution? The liberals say. It's a fact. And since it's a fact, it's God's truth. And if it's God's truth, how can you deny it? We get this circular reason, and we say it's not God's truth because not revealed in Scripture. The Scripture is very clear. God has made all things through his word. He declared, and it was. And so again, not putting creation unequal in the sense of the science of creation as an equally speaking word, an audible word with the Bible, but that through the lens of Scripture, through what Scripture reveals to us, we come to know how God made this world, because God was there in the beginning. And then the Catechism takes us to what that means in our own life, where it says, and it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. So it comes down to your life, my life, what I think, what I do, both in public and in secret, Since our God is the all-powerful God, since our God is the all-seeing God, since our God is the all-present God, God wants his name to be honored. And if we are seeking to love God, if we are seeking to honor God, that God's name may be glorified in our life, that we are indeed seeking each day and every day to say, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name. May your name be glorified. May your name be blessed. May your name be honored in my life, the life that I live in this world. That first of all means inwardly, in our hearts, to ourselves. In my secret life, in my internal life, giving glory and honor to my God, my saying to my Father, hallowed be thy name. Look at me. Look at my thoughts. Look at my life. Look at my desires. And even as we say those words, we say, oh, Father, I have failed you, and I have failed you, and I have failed you, even though I know you are a God that must be honored. Suddenly my thoughts are going other ways. Or suddenly there's a market correction, and all those stocks and bonds that we had bought that seemed so secure, suddenly they've been devalued. We go to bed, and our minds are troubling us. I've lost out. I'm behind. My plans for the future are ruined. And suddenly we are distressed because we put all that faith, all that hope in something that we thought we had, and now it's been taken away. We're troubled because our castles were made in this world and not, first of all, in the world to come. May your name be hallowed and glorified in the midst of my life at all times. And when I struggle with that besetting sin, if we see that sin working within our life, deeply rooted in our life, we think, how can I overcome this sin? How can I have dominion over this sin? We think, and God sees me. God knows me. He knows me intimately. He knows exactly what I'm doing with my mind and with my heart. He's there. Help us to direct all of our living, our outward living, so that those that are closest to us, those who would know us, my wife, my children, how do they know me? How do they see me? Do they see me as a faithful reflection of God's love, of God's truth, that my life is directed to the Lord? Or they say, he's a hypocrite. He says one thing, well, boy, within the family, he's a different kind of person. What kind of person are you like? How do you live? How are you known by those who are closest to you? What would other people say about you? How are you a reflection of God's love when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're in on vacation, when you're far away from home, when you're in a different city, when you're with friends? How are you? I can remember a long time ago, a pastor mentioning a story about a mother and her young man. And he was going up to some camp, logging somewhere all summer long. And she was worried about that. His Christian life lived in the midst of this camp amongst all these unbelievers. And so she counseled him, and she said she'd be praying for him and that kind of thing. And after 2 months, he came back. And she asked her son, son, how did it go? Great, mom, no problems. No problems whatsoever. And living amongst all the people, didn't they ridicule your faith? Didn't they mock your faith? Mom, I didn't tell them I was a Christian. They didn't know I was a Christian. What is our Christian witness like? Do people really know us as a people that indeed have been saved, that have been loved by God in the way that we live with each other, with others? Help us, therefore, to direct all of our living, what we think, say, and do, so your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Think back to your life. I know when I think back to my life, things that can't be undone, things that I should have done, ways that I should have lived, ways that I should have reflected God's love to other people, and I didn't. That's done. And sometimes we can apologize, and sometimes it's too back there in the future that opportunity doesn't present itself. It's done. God was there. God saw. God judged. But fortunately, we have a merciful God. That even though we can say that in many ways, in thought, word, and action, we have sinned and we have broken God's command that He is a faithful and just and merciful God. And then God drives us back, first of all, to Jesus Christ as our God, as our Lord, and as our Savior. And then drives us back to His Word. Listen to me. And to think, we think of the words in Psalm 19. If we adhere to direct all our living, it says, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's a perfect law. It comes to us and says, the law of the Lord is perfect. And as it works within our hearts, as it works within our souls start to change. They start to beat more and more in accordance with the law of God, with the Word of God. As we come to know our God, as we pray for that wisdom from God, our heart starts to beat and beat more and more in accordance with the Word. As we put off that which is of this world, and as we seek to love our God more and more. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We may not have great intellectual knowledge, but right is right, and wrong is wrong. And when the world tells us that right is wrong and wrong is right, if we know the words of Scripture, we know that the world is telling us nothing but a lie. And God is telling us to hold on to the truth. Don't listen to the lie. It's not true. God's Word is true. It's truth. And it will make us wise if we listen to the law of God, the statutes of God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. They make our heart rejoice to have the joy in Jesus Christ. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It opens our eyes more and more to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then the psalmist says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. In other words, what we have in the Bible, God speaking to us, is that which is most precious. It's God speaking to us. It's God's Word. So God comes to us, and God says, I have revealed to you my love. I have loved you. Even before the foundation of the world, I have called you to be my people. I have called you to be my people, and I sent my Son to this world as an expression of my love to save you from all of your sins, that you may look to me for life, that you may listen to my words so you may live and seek to obey my commandments. And so we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Help me, O Lord God, because this life is difficult. Help me, so even as I struggle with sin and evil all around me, as I hear all these voices calling for my attention, help me, Lord God, to look to you, to listen to you, and through the strength of your Holy Spirit, as I struggle with these sins within my life, help me, grant me your grace and your mercy to embrace your word more and more, that I may be strengthened within my heart and within my soul to give you the glory and the honor in all that I say and do, that you may receive the praise. And as you struggle with your sins within your life, may you also look to Jesus, remembering God has saved us. He called us out to be a renewed people that indeed bear His image in this world in which we live. May God indeed grant us His strength, His mercy, and his grace, in his love. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly God, Holy Father, the great God who's over all things, indeed may your name be hallowed. May we give you the blessing, the worship, and the praise, because you are our most holy God. You are the God who's made us in your own image, in true justice and mercy, in true holiness and righteousness. You made us good. We confess that through the fall of Adam, we have inherited sin, and we sin. That sin, O Lord God, compromises that witness that we have with you. O Lord God, you know all those sins. As the Catechism speaks about never-growing sin. And yet, at the same time, we know that all of those sins, each and every one of them, past, present, and future, all of them have been washed clean from us, that we may be made pure. We thank you, Lord God, that you have not abandoned us, but you loved us even before the foundation of the world to be your people, and that you speak to us. But help us to listen to the Bible, to your word, to listen, to receive, and to indeed live a life that's good in your sight. And Lord God, when we stumble and when we fall, we thank you that we can call to you, that you may grant us strength. You may indeed lift us up. That you may cleanse us off. That you may indeed enable us to walk faithfully before you. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, be with us and grant us the life that we have in Jesus Christ. Be lived in a way that's for your glory and for your honor. Amen.